WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. After a bizarre highway chase and crash in February, a man is indicted on federal weapons and drug charges. Virginia's Attorney General defends mail-in voting against the Trump administration. And we tag along with one large animal vet as she makes her rounds in a profession that is in short supply these days. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, April 2nd. A man wanted by the FBI who crashed on Interstate 81, fleeing state troopers in February, has been indicted on state and federal weapons and drug charges, WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
On February 9th, according to court records and police statements, a Virginia State Police special agent working with an FBI task force was looking for a white Hyundai Tucson being driven by Corey Potter, a 30-year-old Philadelphia man who was wanted in Baltimore County, Maryland, on charges of robbery, assault, theft, and impersonating a police officer. The special agent was parked at the exit 195 ramp onto I-81 North in Rockbridge County when he spotted Potter and followed. Other state troopers joined the pursuit, turning on their lights and sirens, and the Hyundai sped up, allegedly reaching speeds of 115 miles per hour. Just south of Harrisonburg, the vehicle attempted to split traffic and struck a tractor trailer and pickup truck before overturning in the median. The incident stopped traffic for multiple miles in both directions. I happened to be driving south on I-81 as this unfolded. I witnessed the vehicle resting on the driver's side in the median, with a man emerging from the passenger side window, his head and torso outside of the vehicle and his hands behind his back. Authorities say they took Potter to the hospital and collected several bags of cocaine and other unidentified drugs from his car, three handguns including a Draco semi-automatic pistol, multiple magazines, nearly $15,000 in cash, and a fraudulent Drug Enforcement Administration badge. Potter has a 2015 conviction from Pennsylvania for two felony fleeing charges. He's been charged in federal court in Virginia with the prohibited possession of a firearm and in Rockingham County with 10 felonies and 4 misdemeanors related to drug, weapons, and driving offenses. Potter is scheduled to appear in federal court in Charlottesville on April 13th. For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
You can find more details at WMRA.org and on our app. Virginia Attorney General Jay Jones says he will challenge President Trump's newest executive order targeting mail-in voting. Jones says it's safe and secure. Radio IQ's Brad Kuttner reports.
Cheating on mail-in voting is legendary. It's horrible what's going on.
That was President Donald Trump ahead of the signing of an executive order he says will make mail-in voting safer and more secure. Virginia vastly expanded mail-in voting in 2020, allowing absentee mail-in voting without an excuse. Trump's new order hopes to put limits on that voting in addition to creating a nationwide list of voters. Some of the asks, such as an intelligent mail barcode that allows for ballots to be tracked, are already used in the Commonwealth. Virginia Attorney General Jay Jones said he plans to fight any expansion of federal authority into Virginia's election systems and court.
And in Virginia, we run our elections. The federal government is not responsible for running our elections. We are good at it. We have proper procedures and guardrails in place to make sure that they're safe and secure.
To that end, Jones has promised to join a forthcoming legal effort that plans to challenge Trump's EO. Notably, the U.S. Constitution reads, quote, "The times, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof." In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Two bills aimed at expanding access to contraception in Virginia are headed to Governor Abigail Spanberger's desk. The Virginia Mercury reports that the bills revive measures that have passed the General Assembly in recent years but were never signed into law by Governor Glenn Youngkin, Spanberger's predecessor. If signed this month, the proposals would mark a shift under Spanberger, who has voiced support for reproductive rights and broader health care access. The Right to Contraception Act would establish a state-level right to obtain contraception and allow individuals to sue if that right is violated. The Contraception Equity Act would require health insurance companies to cover both prescription and over-the-counter contraceptives without cost sharing. Spanberger has until April 13th to sign the bills, propose amendments, or veto them. If amendments are offered, lawmakers will reconvene later this month to consider changes and finalize the state budget. Large animal veterinarians are in drastically short supply in rural areas across Virginia. But Dr. Melinda McCall has been a community staple for farmers, ranchers, and homesteaders across central Virginia for more than two decades. Christine Cuter reports.
Separate a calf from its mother, and you'll hear about it.
So they're lactating still, so they're a little bit pissed off because, like, their babies are getting kidnapped just for a minute, like, while we work them, and then they get put back together. So once we finish, you won't hear a peep, not a peep.
It's a freezing cold morning at Mount Ida Farm in Albemarle County, home to 130 mother cows and just as many babies. Chaps wearing farmhands channel uncertain heifers into a holding pen, where McCall and veterinary assistant Becca Ritchie poke them with vaccines, sprinkle them with dewormer, and check their hindquarters.
She's pregnant. She's about 2.5.
It takes less than 2 minutes per animal, and McCall and Ritchie are pink-cheeked from the effort.
9 times out of 10, they don't kick when you're in their rectum. I just touch and I'm like, I'm here? And they're like, okay. So it's not such a like, boom, that would be, nobody would want that. Your baby's coming.
Agriculture is Virginia's largest private industry. Cattle sales and dairy products are Virginia's second and fourth biggest farm commodities. But large animal veterinarians who tend the food supply, like McCall, are a dying breed. Since 1945, the U.S. has lost 90% of its large animal veterinarians. Of the roughly 133,000 American vets today, just over 3%, about 4,000, work with production animals like McCall does. More than half of McCall's patients are cattle. The rest are sheep, goats, llamas, alpacas, and the occasional hot-tempered pot-bellied pig and agritourism mini-cow. In addition to primary care, McCall treats injuries and infections, does artificial insemination, prescribes and oversees medication, including antibiotics, and educates farmers and veterinary students. She also helps laboring animals, like 36 of Fluvanna County Homesteader's overpregnant sheep, who's stamping uncomfortably in her pen.
It's she's just not quite dilated yet enough to bring it out of there right now. I think we're going to have to just induce her that or do a C-section on her.
In Virginia, recent legislation provided four $110,000 grants to large animal veterinarians who work in rural areas. Federal vet school loan repayment and state pipeline programs help too, but the jobs challenges keep many away.
All animals, of course, like all humans, don't necessarily get sick, between 9 and 5.
Virginia State veterinarian Charlie Broadus works for the Virginia Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services.
The time to demands, in addition to the geography, is a big factor as well. I don't know any large animal veterinarians that haven't gotten hurt throughout their practice career. It's an issue of wearing out knees and shoulders over a long period of time, as well as the emergency thing that you just never know what's going to happen with, a crazy cow or a horse may just bump into the veterinarian that's right next to it and knock somebody down and can get very badly hurt.
McCall has broken bones in her fingers to her feet and injured her spine and skull.
I think you have to work up to the physicality of this job. People think of the gee whiz injuries you can get, but most of the time it's the day-to-day little things that the wear and tear on your body that it creates.
While 84% of veterinary medicine students are now women, many farmers still expect large animal vets to be men.
I always laugh at the men who are standing there waiting on the guy to come. And you're like, what if I said no guy's gonna come? What if I said there aren't any guys left to come? Even if that's what you wanted, you couldn't even get that. And they don't know what to say then.
After giving 36 a shot to help start contractions, McCall clambers back into her pickup truck with Ritchie, where they'll tabulate the bill, take calls, send texts, and tick off another mile in the 50,000 they'll travel together this year. Reporting from Louisa, I'm Christine Cuter.
Finally today, some Virginians in the Richmond area are organizing to ask for stricter state controls on ethylene oxide emissions. Patrick Larson with partner station VPM News has more.
Ted and Demetria Dixon have lived in eastern Henrico for 20 years and didn't know until recently that they live near the sterilization services of Virginia.
By them using the chemicals that they're doing, the stuff they use in antifreeze and stuff like that, that poses a great health problem.
Sterilization Services uses ethylene oxide, an odorless, colorless gas, to sterilize medical equipment. It is highly toxic and linked to health conditions like asthma and breast cancer. Ted has asthma, which is triggered when he returns home after being away. There are many possible contributing factors, though learning about the facility was enough to bring him out to a community meeting on the issue last week. The U.S. government had finalized stricter rules for sterilization plants, but moved to walk that back under the Trump administration. The Dixons and many of their neighbors want Virginia to set its own stricter standards. State Senator LaCherise Aird said at last week's meeting that she'd look at other states' regulations, like Georgia, but added it would take time to find the right approach for Virginia.
Patrick Larson reporting for WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Thursday.